Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning Envy Pro Call. Today is June 13th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this video recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Somebody asked me yesterday, they said, you've been doing this about 9-10 years, right? And I'm like, holy crap, no, about 14 years. So, and I do have them all the way back from the very beginning, if anybody's ever interested in listening to some of those old archives. You just can't hold it against me if I, those that when I was 14 years younger. I'd be a little scared to actually put those out there. I have no idea. Anyway, going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we could help you with, any questions we could answer? Anybody have anything? So I had an opportunity to speak with the Nelson crew. Nelson as a distributor. I don't know how many of you have worked with Nelson or are aware of them, but they're one of our sponsors here at the Installer Training Facility. And I had the honor of being one of the people in a fantastic lineup for an education session that they put together. Just wanted to point that out and just publicly say thank you to Nelson for being a sponsor and for allowing me the opportunity to speak. We did offer a discount for anybody who is involved in Nelson, is interested in coming to any of our training sessions or installer training. We did offer a thank you for Nelson distributors or Nelson customers. If anybody is interested in coming to either the standard sales or premium courses, let me know and I will get you the information to get registered for that. So on that note, we do have 3 spots left available for our premium class that starts in August. I did update the calendar on MotoVitality.com if you're interested in sending any installers there. We've got the classes scheduled through September. We are, other than the 3 classes left at the last week in July, we do have, we're sold out until August on all of them, standard, premium, everything else. So August, September is the next opportunity. We've been fortunate enough to be selling out pretty quickly on those. But if you're interested or thinking about it, please let me know. And I'd love to have you visit, you or your installers or team members or sales professionals visit the facility. We actually have a sales class going on this week. And I always love those too. It's really cool to be able to talk to salespeople and to teach them the plumbing assessments and to go through and do all of that stuff. So if anybody is curious about how we can customize a course or do any of that, please let me know. I'd love to talk to you about it. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody have anything to discuss? So I often say, ask you guys to help me come up with topics, you know. So we do, roughly 45, 46 of these things a year. Which reminds me, speaking of which, the week of July, we will not be having a call. So in the date on that is, I think it's the second week of July. So I'm going to be in Alaska. So we will not be having a call that week in July. So we will be skipping that week. Those of you that are here every other week, Scott and Paul, you guys, you put that as one of your skip weeks. We'll announce that. We've got a couple weeks before that on the calls. But I do always appreciate when when people, you know, when people send in suggestions, you know, it is sometimes a challenge to come up with topics that would be of interest or that are relevant to the, you know, to what we discuss and to others in the industry. And so I like hearing what you guys want to talk about or what you want to hear. And Scott, I wanted to say thank you to you for sending me in a list of some ideas and topics. And I would encourage those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, to do the same. There are some, Scott, some of yours require some guest speakers, people that are a little more experts on the topics that you suggested than me, and I'm trying to put those together and really do appreciate that. And welcome any other ideas that anybody might have. So one of the topics that you sent in, Scott, is, you know, why is the pizza and bagels so much better in New York City? And I did want to just kind of put that on the topic list today and just say, I think that some people might disagree with that. And that's that's such a controversial topic. I mean, people ask me all the time, you know, what is the best water softener? What is the best reverse osmosis? And I have to be very objective and agnostic about that, because I believe in the industry, and I believe that as long as you're not misrepresenting your products or services, they all have excellent features. But man, you're really trying to stir some stuff up on the pizza and bagels thing. And so I just wanted to start the call off today just talking a little bit about that. Do we have anybody here from the New York or New York City area? Anybody on the call here?
Well, of course, you know I am biased.
Michelle, do you have – Scott had to – you know, he was suggesting in his list of topics that bagels and pizza in New York City were better than other places. And I was wondering if you had anything to add or any thoughts on that particular subject.
Well, I am not the foremost expert, but I have visited many other states, including Michigan, Florida, California, Virginia, Arizona, and I can say unequivocally that the pizza and bagels in New York are far superior.
Okay, well, I believe we need to get a Chicago representative here at some point, maybe somebody from the Detroit area, and this would be one of those topics. Scott, I really want to give credence to this. I mean, you know, it's a water-related thing. Some people say it's the water in New York City. If that's the case, you know, or the water from Long Island or anything like that, then yes, you...
Wait, I just have to interject. There are places I know for sure in Florida where they import water from New York, and they market it that way because there are a lot of transplants down in Florida from New York, and they say, we make our pizza or we make our bagels with New York water. So I don't know. They go through all that trouble.
So I was just going to say they may taste delicious, but it could be the 1,4-dioxane and PFAS infused into them that allow for that taste, is all I'm saying.
Well, then it would taste that way everywhere.
what was that? It would taste that way everywhere, is that what you said? I think it's a combination of 1,4-dioxane and PFAS. I think it's a specific blend of these parts per trillion contaminants that give the extra flavor. I mean, I think if you just do PFAS alone, you know, it's not quite right. You know what I mean?
I'm from Chicago.
Anyway, can we talk about our real topic today? what I really did want to talk about today. It is kind of interesting. I mean, all joking aside with all of that stuff, water does have an impact of, and Michelle, I think it's interesting that you say that there are places in Florida that advertise that, you know, it is kind of funny, right? That they do that, but I would suspect that they're still treating the water at some point to do that, you know, or in, like, duplicating the ingredients or whatever. But it's kind of an interesting marketing strategy to say that they import the water to make their bagels and pizza and dough and stuff like that. I think that's kind of interesting.
I don't know about that because you've been on Long Island, and we don't have very many water treatment companies on Long Island. I don't know that everybody.
No, but it's the
municipalities. Yes.
Yeah, they're still treating. They're still having to treat the water at the, especially in New York City, and even within New York City, having tested the water there, it is because of delivery systems and the different ages of the delivery systems. I've tested a lot of water in New York City, and it can vary dramatically from one place to the other, particularly because of the delivery pipes. You know, so it may
what
come
is the,
from the plant. Go ahead.
Yeah. What is the average hardness, say, Long Island or New York City? I mean, grains per gallon.
Yeah, so hardness alone, it can vary, but usually you're only about 4 grains in New York City on average. And on Long Island, it's usually – it really depends on where you're at, on North Shore, South Shore, each community. So, but I would say the average is probably – 2 to 6 grains, and although it's interesting because the apartment that I was in when I was there for working with the client, it would change from one day to the next because there were 7 different wells that they pulled the city water out of, and so it would go anywhere from 4 grains up to about 16 grains, depending on the way they blended it. Also with nitrates, my nitrates in my municipal water, when I would test it periodically or when I was training salespeople using my water where I was, they would go down to non-detectable all the way up to about 25 parts per million sometimes. And so it was interesting when you looked at the CCR, the Consumer Confidence Report of the area. And by the way, the community that I lived in was a community where there were a lot of bagel shops. It culturally was a lot of bagel buying customers there. And they used the water there. So it was, you looked at the Consumer Confidence Report and they would say on average they had, less than 10 parts per million of nitrates, which is what they had to have for the EPA, for the minimum drinking water requirements. Although they did talk about how they had a well that was higher and they would have to blend it. They'd have to blend the wells to keep that down. I know where Michelle lives. Having tested her water at her house, she's got about 2 grains of hardness in her water. pH tends to be a little lower in a lot of cases, though, as is the case when you have when you have naturally soft water, it is the case that that you have lower pH, especially when you have silica in the water. So pH is different. A lot of times you have iron in the water, but the iron is not always caused from natural sources. It's usually the underground delivery systems, the old cast iron pipes. So a lot of times it's oxidized iron that's coming through, depending on that. So the water can really vary. And you get further onto Long Island, 40, 50 miles away from New York City on Long Island, and you can get, really high levels of naturally occurring iron. I've seen that. But it just really varies, just like everywhere. And so,
well, the reason I wasn't trying to pit people against the different parts of the country about pizza.
Yeah.
So in Alabama, we have lots of limestone in the ground, and
yeah,
on average, we're about 10 grains per gallon.
Okay.
And my wife is a fantastic cook, but she is a horrible baker because cooking is free-form, menu, hey, got a general idea, a little of this, a little of that. It's always different. Most of the time, it's good. But she doesn't like the baking because it's chemistry. It's exactly this much. It's exactly this much.
Yeah.
It's exactly this much. And when you try to bake something with hard water of around 10 grains per gallon, and you add that much limestone to it, it completely throws the chemistry off, and that's the reason it's not as, it won't rise as well, it won't be as fluffy, it won't be as nice as it would if you had softer water. And from what the research that I've done, and please, Michelle, tell me if I'm wrong, where New York gets their water from is usually upstate or like Connecticut, and most of those aquifers are lined with granite, and granite doesn't dissolve into water, and that's the reason you have a lower hardness than you do here with the limestone. And so if you have softer water, then you have less of those mineral contents, and that's the reason that the dough is better in New York City. Am I on track with that, or am I wrong?
It sounds like you may have, a piece of the puzzle, because I do know that a lot of the water for New York does come from upstate. I think a lot of Long Island water comes from wells.
Yeah, it's mostly wells on Long Island. And just so, and that, there is a clarification there. When I first, you know, before I went out and worked with that client on Long Island, I thought Long Island was New York City. It's not. It's completely different. I mean, that's, you know, Long Island's literally 110 miles long. It's, and the water's different. The people are different. The, you know, the cultures are different. It's kind of interesting, you know, really when you look at it. But I find that interesting because, like I said, I wonder, you know, there are a lot of bagel shops on Long Island as well, especially on the outskirts of the city that they have different water. So, but I wouldn't discount exactly what you're saying. Scott, honestly, this wasn't necessarily the topic I was going to talk about today, but I think it's kind of interesting if we're not like joking and pitting people against each other. I was hoping to just cause some controversy here. but I do know that certainly water can have an impact on the flavor of things. And this is something that I'm aware of that, I gotta share this. I have one cat that is sitting on my lap as I'm doing this call. We're all friends here, I can tell you. And I have another kitten that is just coming up behind her and just touching her, just to antagonize her, reaching out a paw and just touching her, just to make her mad. It's kind of funny to watch. They're like two little teenagers, like with a younger sibling, just like irritating the other one. Kind of fun. Last year there were dogs and motorcycle or lawnmowers while I was doing this call. So why not just make it a realistic conversation here. Anyway, coffee is a big deal. They had a speaker at WQA a couple of years ago that talked about making coffee, and, you know, coming into the industry, I always thought, and I make all my coffee with reverse osmosis water. I like the flavor of it. I like the taste of it, but apparently hardness, a little bit of extra hardness to the water. Coffee beans are designed to react with hardness in the water. So it pulls the flavor out. So most coffee shops add a little bit of mineral or, you know, if they start with reverse osmosis, I think Starbucks is one of the ones, you know, obviously in order for coffee on the East Coast to taste the exact same as it does on the West Coast, or everywhere in the middle, they have to start with the baseline and then re-add back to the water specific ingredients that would allow it to taste the same, right? But part of that ingredient is a little bit of hardness to the water. So I can certainly see how that might affect the baking, you know, the amount of hardness in the water. But I also have to imagine that there's got to be other factors other than just the calcium and the magnesium, you know. And I also think that some of it is cultural, some of it's regional, some of it, you know, because seriously, there is that big, you know, and I guess I've always thought of it as the style, but, you know, people say that, you know, the people from Chicago say, our pizza's way better than New York. And people from New York say, our pizza's way better than Chicago. And some of it is just, you know, people like different sports teams and, you know, people like their states and their areas and their home better. So it would be interesting to, if you could pull that stuff out, the own the personal, and just really do a chemistry analysis over, I still don't think it would take away the subjective opinion of taste, right? Taste is very subjective. People like different things, you know, and so it's impossible to say that something just automatically tastes better. It really is an individual preference. But in terms of dough rising or bake times or fluffiness or, you know, consistency of the dough and the end product, that you probably could test and quantify. That it's kind of interesting. It's an interesting thought.
Well, it's the same thing with the coffee. As if you're going in and you're talking to anybody about their water, you see a mixer on the counter, you need to bring that up. Talk about it, because I do all the time, because baking is chemistry. It's exactly this much. I mean, you're even off by a quarter of a teaspoon. It completely changes the texture. If you are adding that much limestone or calcium to a recipe, it would assume that it would throw the chemistry off. And the same thing with coffee. If you walk into somebody's house and they have a high-end coffee maker, if they have multiple coffee makers and they've got their own grinder and they've got an elaborate setup, if you're not providing the water with your mini conditioner and letting them taste the coffee while you're there, you're really missing an opportunity, because I don't know about the extraction, and I've heard different schools of thought on Starbucks, and adding the minerals back is more of having a consistent product from city to city and region to region and state to state. But I like the flavor of coffee better with reverse osmosis. I think it's got a stronger coffee flavor. But the main thing is, when you have water that hard, not only is, I think, with reverse osmosis, the coffee has a distinctly stronger coffee flavor, but it's also smooth and not bitter on the back of the palate. And that's something that you can distinctly taste and feel if you make that coffee right in front of them.
So I just did a little Google search on this, so take it for what it's worth. And this is like, just, you know, while we're doing this. So, I typed in, does dough rise better with hard or soft water? And it talks about, hardness of water is mostly due to the presence of calcium carbonate, this article, but it says both mineral content and degree of hardness and the acidity of the water you use in baking can greatly affect the finished product. And that's, I think that might have something to do with the New York too, because their pH tends to be a little lower, as is often the case with low hardness in the water, right? So in breads, water represents about 40% of the total dough mass. Therefore, if even minor amounts of minerals are in the water, they exert a measurable effect on the dough's characteristics and the quality of the bread. Water with a medium hardness, 50 to 100 parts per million calcium carbonate, is considered the best for baking purposes. This is because some of the mineral salts have strengthening effect on the gluten of the dough. Very hard water, above 200 parts, and if you guys are doing the math, how do we, you know, so 50 to 100 would be about 2 to 5 grains, right? 2 to 6 grains, I guess, of hardness, because we're dividing those numbers by 17.1. So very hard water, above 200 parts per million of calcium carbonate, is detrimental because it retards the formation process. Can we say that word anymore? I don't know if it retards the fermentation process. They do this by tightening or toughening the gluten structure too much. The minerals present prevent the proteins from absorbing water. Corrective steps include an increase in the yeast level, a decrease in the amount of yeast food such as sugar starch used since these contain minerals, the addition of acids such as orange juice or yogurt, or a reduction in the amount of added dough improver since these also contain minerals. Interesting. Okay, so according to this, Scott, I think you're right. I thought you were just trying to stir stuff up when you sent this in to me, but it is kind of interesting.
Some of those things that I sent you is this call has helped me with my talk track more than anything. But I always want to make sure that what I am telling a client is accurate, because I never want to be deceitful and not say the wrong thing. And I thought that I was right, but I always want to defer to the experts to make sure that what I'm saying is accurate.
So this says high pH in hard water is undesirable because the high content of alkaline salts neutralize the normal acidity developed during the yeast fermentation. And all of this does make sense because, like I said, you tend to have, you know, that hardness level that they're talking about there, and it does tend to be lower pH. Alkaline waters raise the pH of the dough above the optimum range for enzyme activity. Enzymes act at their optimum at pH levels between 4 and 5, since the functions of enzymes in dough are significantly affected by the pH of the medium. It is evident that excessive alkalinity waters have a detrimental effect on the direction and quality of the fermentation. Alkaline pH can be adjusted by adding acetic acid, lactic acid, or monocalcium phosphate. Acetic acid is naturally occurring acid found in apples, grapes, and oranges, so on and so forth. Hard water has other disadvantages in that it can leave scale and water heaters, so on and so forth, yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Okay, good. See, how about that? You inadvertently taught me something, Scott. thank you.
I
always say it's a good day when I learn something. And as you guys have all heard me say multiple times, one of the things that I truly, truly love about this industry is just how often I learn things that I didn't know before. I mean, it really is just a super cool, it's just a super cool opportunity to learn this stuff. So, any other thoughts on this? Thank you, Scott. I really do appreciate the suggestions. And as I said, anybody else, would love to, if you guys have any suggestions or thoughts on topics, let me know. I mean, it's kind of fun to have these conversations. I think this was a way better topic than what I was actually going to talk about today. So this is, and since we didn't send out a topic on the, Michelle just sent out a reminder. Thank you, Michelle. Just sent out a reminder to everybody to be here without a topic because we had a class in and I hadn't really come up with one yet. So until yesterday. So thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. Any other final thoughts on this or comments?
Well, I think this is a huge opportunity for, and I'm just going to pick Florida, for water treatment companies to go to bagel stores and pizza restaurants in Florida and tell them they might not have to go to the trouble of importing the water. They can possibly create it how they need it to be, given what you just read. So.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we will take the final word from the New York person. So thank you very much, everybody. I really do appreciate it. Everybody have an awesome weekend, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thank you.